This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
All right, my friends, we are halfway home on a... It is Tuesday. It's August 5th. Ben and Woods, 97.3, the fan. I legitimately had to look at my phone because I have just lost.
You're on island
Hawaii.
Time.
I'm on island time. I'll just get to it whenever I get to it.
You're like Kunu. I don't really wear a watch anymore.
I don't wear a watch, man. Yeah. What does Kunu mean? It means Chuck. I watched that the other night.
So then I watched it like a week ago.
Yeah, forgetting Sarah Marshall. It's incredible. Oh, wedding in Hawaii. How original. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Randall, the executive producer. Aloha, Paulie. Aloha to you, Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood anchor, as it were, lately.
He's been lately for the last couple of weeks and enjoying my fill-in stint on the desk. By the way, just quick update.
Are you?
Yeah, I mean, I do enjoy it. It's tiring. It's exhausting. But, yeah, I've enjoyed it. Quick update. Good. On social media, running about 2-1 that Padres fans have not seen the P in the logo before.
Yeah, I saw that, which surprises me.
Which, and we've got comments ranging from mind blown to you're not a real fan if you didn't know it. So,
correct.
Which is what I feared when I just discovered it yesterday. Paulie has reached out to the San Diego Padres to try and get an official statement, hopefully before the end of the show, but get an update and maybe put this debate to rest once and for all from the only people who can put it to rest. Is there a P in the SD Padres hat logo?
There definitely is. I mean, there is.
But is it intentional? I mean,
yes.
Is it actually meant to be there, or is it just a happenstance of the SD logo?
You think they just got lucky, perhaps?
Possible.
Okay. I think it's very obvious that it was meant to be, but we will see. We will see. And I am actually surprised that there are more people in your camp than in my camp and some of the other people's camp. I thought it was pretty obvious. You could see the P in there. But yeah, we'll get to the bottom of it. It's very, very cutting edge stuff today on a Tuesday. And that's what happens after a Padres loss last night to the Arizona Diamondbacks. But what's on the agenda for the rest of the day for you fellas?
I actually am going up to Oceanside right after the show. I've got a shoot for Channel 10 for an event that's coming up. Details TBD, but I'm going to be up there for a couple of hours and then back down to the studios off the 94 to anchor and then watch the Padres game tonight. Yeah.
What kind of shoot? Like an adult film?
No, a television shoot.
Oh,
it's an interview and some stand-ups and some teases. It's what we do when we go out on location and shooting some things in advance. It's like it's not for air today. It's kind of more of a long lead type story that we're working on for the future.
Tyler says you're secretly applying for that Oceanside PD dispatch job.
What was the salary? It was like $85,000 or something.
It's like 3 days a week.
3 days a week.
12-hour work days and like $87,000 a year. And you're like, huh.
3 days a week. I could have a side gig and also do some dispatch.
I already work 5 days a week over 12 hours a day, so we could really cut back to just 3 days instead of five.
Oh man, Lou says it's in respect to Peter. Come on, guys. I didn't know that. I just thought it was a P in there. I thought that there was just a P in the logo. I didn't know it had anything to do with Peter Seidler.
I'm guessing it was there long before probably Peter was affiliated with the San Diego Padres. It was always there, right? I mean, had to be there from the beginning.
Hang on. Are we trying to decide what the P would stand for if in fact there is a P in the Padres logo?
Padres. Yeah.
Right. I thought that the heart was for Peter Seidler. So everybody thinks that they know. We will try to get the official story. Paulie, what's on your, we were talking before the show. Paulie is moving soon, which is in and of itself, it's like the third worst thing that can happen in your life, but it's also exciting and you move to a new place, but you're in this moving purgatory right now.
Yeah, we're like, 6 weeks out, 7 weeks out. So,
it begs the question of like, what do you do? Because you don't want to wait till the last minute, but you also don't want to be living out of boxes for the next 6 weeks.
No, we're probably a few weeks away from the boxes and all that. And, you start with the stuff that you know you won't need.
Are you going to do a adult move or a 20-something-year-old move?
I'm 34.
You're going to do an adult move. You're going to get movers.
Paying good money to not have to lift a thing.
And they're going to put all the boxes in the truck and deliver it to your new... I'm proud of you,
I did it, an adult move. First time, last time we moved, and I'm like, oh my God, why did I never do this? It's worth every penny and then some. I mean, it is so worth it. I'm like, God, even like ever since college, you just call up your buddies. Hey, I got pizza and beer. Can you guys come help me move this couch? Hey, can you guys come help me move this entertainment center? You know what I mean? Like, no, they have the moving truck. They've got the equipment. They like even things that you didn't think of. Like, you're like, I'm pretty sure I packed up. I wrapped the TV well. They're like, no, we're going to use this industrial bubble wrap. And they've got
really
it all.
You screwed up, though. You could have probably gotten me and Ben to pay for your entire move by just saying, hey, guys, I'm going to need your help. I got pizza and beer for you guys. And if you guys could just come
over. I haven't made an appointment yet. If you guys are willing to help, I mean.
No, we're not. No, we're trying to pay to get out of helping. But the big question is, are there stairs in any of your.
There are.
See, now that is a huge difference. And I remember our first big move that required movers. We lived in a place up toward Carlsbad. It was a townhouse, but almost everything was on the second floor. Like living rooms, the kitchen was all up there. And when we actually got the place, there was this giant big screen television that was already there. And we got it with the place. And we thought, well, we're lucky. I mean, it was one of those old school ones, though. It's before the flat screens on the wall.
Oh, God.
This was like a console television.
Sticks out like 2 feet from the wall.
It must have weighed, I want to say 3,000 pounds. Yeah. I mean, it was huge.
I remember the first big screen we ever got. It was a 60-inch in like 2000.
Yeah. It was in a sconce in the wall. And we go, okay, we're good. And then a couple years later, we're moving out. We're moving down back to Encinitas. And like, what do we do with this thing? No one can get it down these stairs. I mean, they're going to need a forklift and a crane. How did they get it up? And now we realize, well, that's why they left it, because no one can move it. So we just left it for the next people as well. There was just no way. It might still be there, honestly, a 35-year-old big screen television, because no one can get it out of where it is somehow.
That's the worst.
We, in our house that we moved into a couple years ago, we had to do the thing where we had to take the doors off to get stuff in, which was just, we didn't do it. The movers had to take the doors off, but you're like, we've really botched this thing. Keegan wants to know. So if Paulie asked Benner Woods to help him move, would they say yes or no? I would say no. I don't love Paulie. Yeah, I'm not. I can't do it. I've done so many moves. I've done midnight moves from many places.
Paulie, I would be happy to come help you move. Now,
liar.
You realize I will be dropping lots of things, breaking things all over the place. So just keep that in mind, and I can eat a lot of pizza if that's what we're having. So just, I'm happy to help though.
I would absolutely, if you ask, hey, can you come help me? I'd be like, I love you. I'm going to give you $300 to lessen the blow of me having to come. I mean, I'd let you use my truck or something if you needed to, for sure.
I had a truck in college and
the worst.
It was like I got the truck and I signed my life away to move everybody. And back in college, I don't know if it was like for you guys, like we moved every year, like the school year ended or during the summer, you moved into
a new like park. A 9-month lease where you'd go for the school year and then it's over and you had to find somewhere new the next year.
Like the first time we stayed in the same like townhouse for more than 1 year, it was like, whoa, we're adults now. Like we're not moving every June. It was miserable.
Sounds like the tier ones in the chat are ready to go, Paulie. If you want an army of tier ones coming over to help you move one item at a time, they're ready to go for you.
I appreciate that. I think we're going to be okay. Like I said, we're still a few weeks away from even getting to that point, making an appointment and all of that. But right now it's just, I've been building a ton of like new furniture that we've been buying, new end tables or something like that. Bought a new dresser.
IKEA? You were building them?
We did some IKEA. We did some Wayfair. We've done some Costco. A little bit of everything.
I like it. Yeah, my wife gets the wild, she's in real estate. So a house will pop up on the market and she's like, ooh, what do you think about this? And I go, I can't do it. I don't know that I have it in me to box up and pack and unpack and reset up. I love our house so much. It's perfect. It will get a little small with the boys getting a little bit bigger. But I just don't think I have another move in me. I think, hopefully the place that we live now is where I spend my last days. And hopefully it's no time soon. Luckily I have a trust in Will. But you know, if that's the case, I will be so happy if I never have to move again, Paulie. So my heart goes out to you guys, but it'll be great. We don't want to give the location, not because of the tier ones, but we have a reason we don't want to give the location to other person. Yeah. Bald Reindel. We cannot let Bald
Reindel
know where you're
moving.
Oddly enough,
that person just texted us.
He did.
Says, I'm in moving purgatory as well. He's moving in 4 weeks. I'll help Paul move if he'll help me move.
That's such a hard pass. Hey, could you grab that? It's a little bit heavy for me. Forget it.
I think I'm a lot bigger and stronger than Adam, too. I think I'd get screwed in that. He'd like
You would.
He'd be carrying, like, you know, a bag of t-shirts or something. Like, can you grab that big screen for me?
He's also moving a whole family. I mean, they've got all the kids' furniture and everything. That would be a losing proposition for you, Paulie. He'd be getting off way easier than you would.
Well, a lot of people moving. Wish you the best. Also, please don't have a housewarming party. I'm just going to send you money.
Do adults do that? Is that still
they do? And I don't want to do it. I'm just going to send you money and you guys can use that money for whatever you like.
Sounds good.
Please don't ask me to do anything.
Got a little news here from your San Diego Padres this morning, guys.
What do we got?
They have just announced that Luis Arraez has been named their 2025 Heart and Hustle Award winner, which makes a lot of sense for the Padres. Guys, all heart, all the time.
I know we're going to, it feels like for the rest of his career, whether he's here in San Diego or on another team, his value is always going to be debated. But I love Luis Arraez so much, man. Did you guys see the video that they put out yesterday? Probably recorded a few days ago. And they were asking every player as they walked in, you know, the question of the day or question of the week or whatever. And it was, who has the most unread text messages on their phone?
It was so good.
Everybody's guessing Manny or Tatis. And then Luis Arraez comes up and he said something along the lines of, like, I don't have that many. Like, I respond. I love all of my friends and I respond to everybody.
I love all my friends. I respond. To everyone.
Jeremiah Estrada says, I read them all, but I never respond to anyone.
He never responds, which is a nightmare.
But I can't understand. If you've got the little circle with the number, I mean, how do you do it? Which ones do you look at and don't look at? Once the number's there, I have to look at all of them and clear them instantly. And I thought, what do you do, Woods? Do you have a number on your text right now?
Bro, no.
No.
Never.
I clear them out.
There's never
quickly.
A number on my text.
Never.
No, and we don't. We're not Manny Machado or Fernando Tatis Jr. They've got thousands of people reaching out to them, you know.
How many people have their numbers? Don't those guys be a little careful of who they're giving their numbers out to? I know that, you know, generally that, you know, professional athletes aren't simply like posting their number in the directory.
You've got friends. You've got family. You've got former teammates. You've got agents. You've got businesses. Yep. You know, all that stuff.
And even if I did have like Fernando's number, I'm certainly not texting him all the time. Do people just think that I'm just going to text you, Fernando. I'm sure no one's heard from.
We work with Stephen Woods. No offense, buddy. You're no Fernando Tatis Jr. And this guy gets asked things 50 times a day. What do you think Fernando's phone's like?
I made the mistake years ago of being the guy that set up for my very first show. I set up like the come in and meet us on a Friday. I would go down and get all the people. But in order to do that, I had to give everyone my phone number. And so I probably have between 300 and 400 listener phone numbers in my phone. And I get random texts all the time. And my problem is my fatal flaw is that I have to like read and respond
Your
to
kryptonite?
Every one of them. My kryptonite. It's my fatal flaw that I am unable to just ignore a text or DM. I wish I could, but I can't. So I'm constantly crippled by my phone and my Instagram, my Twitter, all of it, and it's hundreds and hundreds a day sometimes. So I definitely would win on our show for that, but I loved that video. I thought it was so great.
I usually, like, especially if I get texted during the show, because I try not to look at my phone much, like especially when we're on the air. Sometimes I get too busy during the commercial breaks and I forget to check. Like, I'll leave texts purposely unread, or even if I accidentally open it, you can swipe and make it unread again. Because then at the end, then after the show, I'll see the unread texts.
I do that too with, like, emails.
It's like a reminder.
Okay, I've read it, but if I leave it unread, I'll know that I need to check it again because if the number's gone, I'll feel like, oh, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
All my numbers are gone. And I'll know, okay, I've got to go back and look at that one. So I actually leave some of them on purpose unread, even though I've already actually kind of read it.
Yeah, Brandon nails it right here. Ben reading his phone, asking, you know, the same question Woods asked him 10 minutes earlier. Yeah, the phone is a real detriment on the Ben and Woods program. It has been. I didn't tell you when I come back from Hawaii what I'm going to install in the studio. Are you ready for this? Are you ready?
What?
The phone cubby.
I mean, I don't play on my phone, though, during the show. I use it to look up things that I need for the show.
I've never accused you of playing on your phone. Never once
said. It's for work.
I don't think it's Wordle.
I can't really do my job without the phone.
We're going to get a cubby. We're going to put it in the studio, and then you can get it out of your cubby. At breaks, and I will do the same, and Paulie will do the
same.
But
don't you ever need to look up something during a break or during the show when it's actually on?
I have a computer. You have a computer.
No, but I don't know. There's certain things like my Padres Daily. I always find it on my phone. I checked
on the computer.
I don't want to look. I don't want to go. I'm using I've got my StreamYard and everything. I don't want to change what's on my computer, so I use my phone to find things like important Padres information.
Well, I have found here some beautiful.
Just take
mahogany.
Away my computer, then. I mean, if you don't want me to be distracted, let's have no computer, no notes. We'll just talk for 4 hours with no information whatsoever.
Sounds like a challenge.
We pretty much do that anyway. Yeah. I have found a nice piece of mahogany here, and I have whittled a cubby, and I'm going to be bringing it home for us, and I'm going to put it in the studio. We're going to do the Ben and Woods. We'll put a Ben and Woods sticker on it. It'll be the Ben and Woods phone cubby, and we'll just see how it goes, see how it works.
Some of the comments in the chat, you have the internet right in front of you. Ben sounds like a drug addict. Ben channeling his inner Taylor right now.
I'm on my phone.
It's like you don't understand. I
need my phone.
I feel very uncomfortable if I don't have it with me. I really do.
All right, do this for me right now. Take your phone and now you're good because we're about to go to break. But the next segment, just give your phone to Paulie for the segment and see how you feel. We'll just try it.
I'm going to feel very uncomfortable. All right, we will take a quick timeout. Next segment is Take on Woods, which I don't need my phone for. I do have that on my computer. If you'd like to be our contestant, you can call in now, 833-288-0973. 5 questions, musical trivia against Woods with a chance to qualify for a fabulous Vegas getaway. We'll tell you all about it when we come back with Ben and Woods after traffic on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We'll get back to screen time talk in a little bit because we got Jesse Agler coming up at the bottom of the hour, and we got a game to play, and we got contestants on the line. So, Woods, are you ready? Let's play a little Take on Woods. Take on Woods is brought to you by Bay Alarm, security and fire alarms for every business. We got you, and I am just taking one at random. We got James.
Let's just go random there.
You here?
Good morning.
All right, James, you are up today for Take on Woods, and if you can beat or tie Woods in our 5 questions, you will qualify for our fabulous monthly grand prize drawing. It is a 2-night stay at Resorts World Las Vegas, 2 VIP expedited admission passes to IU Day Club. Does that mean like front of the line expedited?
I think so. That's what that means.
And a $175 food and beverage credit. I mean, you know, it's better than 150, not quite as good as 200, but 175 is not bad. You can get all the details at rwlasvegas.com. All right, here are the categories that you've got to choose from today. We have the I's Have It, 5 bands that begin with the letter I. Wish List, which is 5 song titles that begin with I Want. And A Song Within a Song, 5 song titles that all include the word song in the title. So, the I's Have It, Wish List, or A Song Within a Song, James?
Let's go the I's Have It.
The I's Have It. All right, this one's pretty simple. 5 bands that all begin with the letter I. You'll have 60 seconds. Answer as many as you can. If you don't know one, say pass. We'll come back to it. First question, Paulie is queuing it up, is our two-second song. You need to identify both the song title and that band that starts with the letter I to score that point. James, are you ready to play?
Let's go.
All right, let's do it. 60 seconds on the clock. The category is The Eyes Have It. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, James. Let's take on Woods.
I'm waking up to ash and dust.
Which Australian rock band was originally formed as the Ferris Brothers in 1977?
In Excess?
Correct. Which heavy metal band reached a turning point with their 1982 album, The Number of the Beast, the first for new lead vocalist
Iron
Bruce...
Maiden.
Correct. Which California band of high school classmates had a breakthrough hit when they released the song Drive late in the year 2000?
Pass.
A sampling of Star Trek's Mr. Spock saying pure energy is a notable feature of which 1998 hit What's on Your Mind by which electronic band?
Information Society.
Correct. Let's go back to our two-second song.
I'm waking up to ash and dust.
Man, go to the path of that.
Which California band of high school classmates had a breakthrough hit when they released the song? Oh, we ran out of time. You got three, though. INXS, Iron Maiden, and Information Society. You did not get Radioactive by Imagine Dragons, and Incubus is Drive. So let's text Woods.
Yes.
Get him back into the loop here. He can get his headset back on, see if he can beat the score that James has established. Same five questions. Same 60 seconds, but no benefit of the category. Welcome back, Woods.
All right, thank you.
All right, see if you can figure this one out. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on James.
I'm waking up.
That is AWOL Nation Sale.
That is incorrect. Which Australian
what?
Rock band was originally formed as the Ferris Brothers in 1977?
What?
Which Australian rock band was originally formed as the Ferris Brothers in 1977?
Split Ends?
Incorrect. Which heavy metal band reached a turning point with their 1982 album, The Number of the Beast, the first for new lead vocalist?
Iron Maiden.
Correct. Which California band of high school classmates had a breakthrough hit when they released the song Drive late in the year 2000?
Incubus.
Correct. A sample of Star Trek's Mr. Spock saying pure energy is a notable feature of the 1988 hit What's on Your Mind by which electronic band?
Pure Energy. What the hell is that band? Pure Energy. What's the category? F.
I don't know, but you need this, and you need it quickly. Like three.
Power Station.
Oh, no, wow. And it's another. It's a 3-2 loss. James has won it today. That was Information Society, Incubus, Iron Maiden, the Ferris Brothers is INXS. And that was Radioactive by Imagine Dragons. What did you guess?
I said AWOL Nation Sale. I've only played Radioactive 4 billion times.
I couldn't believe you missed that one.
4 billion times.
That category was The Eyes Have It, all bands that begin with the letter I.
I think as punishment, we're going to have to play Imagine Dragons on the way out to break here.
Fair enough. James, hang on the line. You have qualified for the grand prize drawing for Las Vegas. Good luck at the end of the month. We are going to take a quick time out. We'll come back with Jesse Agler joining us from Arizona. A little conversation with the voice of the Padres coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, that was fairly excruciating, but not as excruciating as joint pain. Look at me. I'm like Ben Higgins with my transitions. Today, if you woke up this morning, stepped out of bed, your knee is screaming at you, your back is killing you, your shoulders hurt, and you're unable to get in the water or lift weights or do any of the things that, you know, make you human and give you joy, QC Kinetics is where you need to call today. We've all done it. We think, oh, maybe it'll just go away. I'll just tough it out, but nothing changes. Time to call, schedule that free consultation with the medical pros at QC Kinetics today. Thousands of patients, including myself, who will tell you they wish they would have known about it. They wish they would have done it sooner. They turn their lives around with QC Kinetics regenerative treatments. Work with your body to help restore and repair damaged joint tissue. Natural cellular therapies, no scalpel, no pills, just long-term relief. with no dreaded recovery. Look, they'll take a look at your x-rays that you have from your physician. No pressure chat, thorough evaluation to see if you're a good candidate for what it is that they do. And worst case, you learn something new. The best case is you get your life back. You get back on the bike, get back in the pool, get back on your surfboard. Grab the phone right now. Give them a call today. Locations in Hillcrest and in Torrey Hills, 619-614-PAIN, 619-614-PAIN. It's QC Kinetics at 619-614-PAIN.
Got TV star Jesse Agler standing by from Phoenix, Arizona. Our The Padres is coming up. First, though, let's get a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. And joining us now from the Valley of the Sun, the voice of the San Diego Padres. Hear him every Tuesday morning here on Ben and Woods. Jesse Agler, and Jesse, I know we're interrupting. You probably would love to be going on a five-mile run out through the streets of Phoenix right now, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh, man. You know, it's funny because we come here obviously for spring training, and it's beautiful in February and March. It's basically like, you know, almost like San Diego. And then you come here on August 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and different story. Different story.
110 is what I'm seeing.
Yeah, 111 today. I got 114 tomorrow, Jesse.
Yeah, luckily we're getting out before it really gets on Thursday, because I think it's 119 on Thursday.
I did a meeting there once in suit and tie, and the temperature on my car said 125 degrees. And when I got out and had to walk into a clinic and go sell a guy something, and I was in a suit. I was in a suit, and I just went, this is it for me. Hopefully I can find a job on the radio somewhere. Jesse, they do have air conditioning in the building, though, because watching J.P. Sears last night, now I don't know if, you know, it's nerves or, you know, you're with a new team making your first start and you're in a pennant race, but that dude was sweating through his uniform in the building, which I know they have air conditioning. Does it not work? Is it not effective?
It's, you know, I think, you know, there's only so much air conditioning can do when it's 111 degrees outside. I mean, I was in pant legs pulled up to my knees mode in the booth, and I know it's hotter down in the field than it is upstairs. You know, before they put in the artificial turf, when they had grass, just a few years ago now, they had to keep the roof open during the day to, like, give the grass sunlight, photosynthesis, all that we know about, right? So they would close it basically, like, during batting practice. And if it's 111 degrees outside and you're closing it an hour and a half before the game, it's still going to be 100 degrees in the building when the game starts. So now that they have the turf, they're able to keep it closed pretty much all the time. But it's still, it's so hot there. The building is so big. It's also not the newest facility, obviously. So, I mean, look, it's better than outside when you're in there, but it is still plenty warm.
So you pulled your pant legs up to your knees in the booth last night.
Yes.
That is
my favorite new visual. Say about that?
You know, I'm not even sure he noticed. You know, there was a butterfly that flew past at one point, and he was chasing it. So.
He's your Ben. I've told Ben to take his phone and put it in a cubby because sometimes he doesn't listen intently and I need him to. And so
you got to get one of those, like when you go see the stand up comedian and they don't want any of the video, like those little lock bags. That's what you get.
I need to get one to bring it back home.
Jesse, let's turn our attention to J.P. Sears. Obviously, not the debut he was hoping with a new team, but tough. It's always tough, I think, to make a first start. You're working with a new catcher. You're working with a lot of new different players. And, you know, Arizona's not the friendliest environment for pitchers. There were some good things we saw from J.P. Sears as well, at least getting through five innings, but it was a pretty rough outing.
Yeah, and I'm not going to read too much into anything out of it other than, you know, as you said, he showed some true gumption there. You know, I mean, it sounds like a backhanded compliment when a guy, you know, kind of gives up what he gave up last night. 5 runs, 10 hits in 5 innings, but like it could have been way worse for J.P. Sears. And I think, you know, you give him a pat on the back for that and the fact that he was able to kind of muscle through it as far as he was and not let it totally get away. Reality is the Padres were in that game, you know, and the bats weren't able to do their comeback thing last night. But, you know, he kept it close enough and he didn't burn the bullpen to the ground. And that's nice. But look, the reality for him is, you know, this is a guy who's come in. He's given up a lot of home runs. He's given up a lot of extra base hits. He was pitching, you know, half his games in Sacramento, which, you know, the ball is jumping like crazy there. And now he's got Ruben Niebla, and now he's got Ben Fritz. And so I'm sure they're going to get in a lab, either literally or figuratively, and kind of say, all right, let's start tweaking some things here. Now, look, it's August 5th, right? So you're not going to be able to totally remake a guy. But I would imagine there are going to be some pretty big differences, you know, in a month and a half from now, from the J.P. Sears that you saw pitching in Sacramento to the J.P. Sears you're going to see pitching at Petco Park. I don't think they're going to overwhelm him. I don't think they're going to try and turn him into a totally new guy. He's not going to start throwing right-handed all of a sudden or anything like that. But I would figure that there are going to be some adjustments made. And, you know, they'll feel him out. He will feel them out. And last night was really just the start of that whole process.
Talking to our pal Jesse Agler, voice of the San Diego Padres, here on Ben and Woods this morning. Always a pleasure to catch up with our pal Jesse, and we haven't talked to you since the trade deadline, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So that was a quite a day. I texted with you a little bit that day, and it was wild. You know, we were on the air when the Mason Miller trade broke, and that was pretty interesting. And then the next trade comes through, and you're like, what are we doing? And then at the end, you know, we did warn everybody, hey, let's see the totality of the package here. The totality of the package kind of led to what looks on paper to be a pretty deep team, Jesse.
That's the idea, right? I mean, yep. You know, everybody was saying, hey, let's address left field. Let's address right-handed hitting. You know, let's address catcher. And then bang, bang, bang. You know, they get that all done. This group is different, you know, the baseball operations group. I mean, the tenacity they have, the creativity they have, is uncommon. And I know that might sound silly for somebody who doesn't follow the game super closely. You just sort of figure this is how all heads of baseball operations function, but it's just not the case. And, you know, AJ and Josh and Nick and Chris, the whole group there, they do incredible work, just sort of being relentless in their pursuit of anything they can do to make the team better. And, you know, I think one of the things AJ said in the aftermath about Miller, even though it's a little bit out of order, but obviously they kind of knew what was going to happen. They were comfortable giving up what they gave up for Mason Miller, and obviously Sears as well, because they knew that by the end of the day, they were going to have a true, true championship caliber roster. And so, you know, we always talk about teams going for it at the deadline. This is a great example of that. You know, it's World Series or bust. Make no mistake. That is the mentality of this organization, top to bottom. And when I say World Series or bust, I don't mean getting to the World Series. The singular goal of everybody in this organization is to bring the first ever World Series championship to San Diego, the first ever major sports championship to San Diego. And I mean, this is a roster that is absolutely of that caliber. And, you know, look, that's the easy part in a way, right? Now you got to go out and do it, and everybody's got to click, and everybody's got to kind of be comfortable with their new roles and all that kind of thing. But, you know, they're full throttle going for it all the way. National League playoff picture is fascinating. You know, the West, it's going to be the Dodgers and the Padres down to the wire. In the Central, the Brewers and the Cubs down to the wire. In the East, the Mets and the Phillies down to the wire. And then the Reds are kind of hanging around, you know, as a wild card team. But outside of that, I mean, it's like you kind of know who, you know, the 17 six spots, you kind of know who everybody is, unless anything crazy happens here in the last 2 months. And it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun.
Jesse, have you had a chance to chat up any of the new guys, any intel that you can provide from, you know, Mason Miller or J.P. Sears or any of the guys?
Very briefly, it was more like introductions the other day at Petco, and I always feel bad like on the first day or two because there's a million people coming up and meeting them, so I'm a slow play that, you know, that's kind of my style. I don't try and get in anybody's face too much, just try and get a handshake and that kind of thing, but I'll say this, you know, when I introduced myself to Mason Miller, I was looking all the way up at him and I said to myself, this looks like a guy who can throw 104 miles an hour. He is a
no doubt
big, big human being.
Jesse, I know you've probably done some research in the last few days since the trade deadline. What's a fun fact you've learned about one of the new Padres that you'd like to share with the Tier 1s?
Oh, man, putting me on the spot. Let's think. What is a fun fact? Well, this is more of like a Jesse fun fact.
That's
probably
right. I love Jesse
like
fun facts.
Another person kind of fun fact. Ramon Laureano played collegiately at Northeastern Oklahoma A&M College.
Whoa.
They are the golden Norsemen. And do you know where that school in Oklahoma is located?
Northeastern Oklahoma. No.
How about Miami, Oklahoma?
Wow.
I mean, did you know there was a Miami, Oklahoma?
How many names and directions can you have in one school? That's got to be a record.
It's a hyper direction.
Give it to me again.
So, Laureano Khalid played at Northeastern Oklahoma A&M College in Miami, Oklahoma. They are the Golden Norsemen.
The Golden Norseman.
Wow.
How do you even,
not just the Norseman, the Golden Norseman.
That's pretty incredible. I like that pickup a lot. I like Ryan O'Hearn. I like all these guys. I really do. Freddie Fermin, you know, Mason Miller. You know, look, you look at it and you go, man, this dude really did. This guy really did get everything off the old grocery list that he needed to get, Jesse. So, like you said, they got to go out and do it. And I, you know, it's interesting. It's going to be interesting for Schilty now. You know, not only with a, you know, he hasn't really been playing with a robust bench all season, and now he's got to figure out. Yeah, I got to get Sheets in, and I got to get O'Hearn to start, and I got to do this, and Freddie and Diaz. It's a whole new set of problems for a skipper. And look, even though they're good problems to have, they are still problems at the end of the day. Same with the bullpen. You know, when to deploy guys and when not. But I know Schilty would rather have it this way than the other. We can ask him about that on Friday. But you know, again, on paper, it looks pretty solid.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call them problems. I mean, I think they're challenges, they're puzzles,
issues
that need to be, you know, looked at. But I don't think it's a problem. I think, you know, a problem connotes something negative, and this is not negative. Does it make Mike's life a little bit more complicated? Sure, but like in the best way possible, because, you know, you've got this sort of plethora of good options. And look, that is going to be, you know, that's going to be a real thing that he has to kind of tweak and work through and adjust and all that in the weeks ahead and kind of figure out that winning formula. And there might be some speed bumps there. There could be some growing pains, you know, because again, you know, whether it's O'Hearn and Sheets or Fermin and Diaz, whatever it is, right? You know, there's going to be some time taken to sort of figure out who slots in where, when, and all that. And look, just because it looks one way today doesn't mean anything for 2 weeks from now. You know, go back to the beginning of the season and look at some of the starting lineups and how different it is now. And remember when Jackson Merrill was in that big slump, he got dropped down, you know, further in the lineup than he had been at any point, you know, this season. And now he's back, you know, hitting cleanup because he's pitching or hitting well again. So, I mean, look, all of this stuff is fluid. All of this stuff is subject to change. And I think Mike Schilt has a really, really, really excellent sixth sense when it sort of comes to like the right time to start moving things around. Sure. And I think he's shown that over and over the last couple of years. One of his lines that I like a lot is, you know, he's not going to overreact, but he also doesn't want to underreact. You know, when somebody's struggling or when somebody's playing well. Oh, you've heard them all.
You've heard them all.
He's good about running. He's not going to alibi it either, Jesse.
Yeah, definitely not.
No?
No. Jesse, before you go,
I have to know,
with you doing TV this series, Sam Levitt is getting to fill in and call the games on the radio side, and he gets to go on the road trip. How did Sammy do on the team flight? He looked pretty giddy on the picture that I saw.
Did he get hammered and make a fool of himself on the team plane?
No. I mean, it's a 45-minute flight. How much damage can you really do?
Well, I mean, who are you talking to here?
Yeah, fair enough. It's like Woodsy getting that Southwest to Vegas back in the day.
Oh, the worst. Good for Sammy, and good for you. And I'm assuming they won't let you wear shorts, right? That's probably against the broadcaster's rule.
I couldn't do it. There's only one guy I've ever seen do it, and I'm not going to name names, although it's very well known in the broadcaster circle. And he has received the Ford Frick Award from the Hall of Fame, so he gets a total pass.
Wow.
But he's the only one I've ever seen do it. And I mean,
text me.
Good for him.
Text me.
Yes. You'll think about it for 5 seconds and figure it out.
Jesse, appreciate it as always. Have a safe trip. See you back in town this weekend.
Mark Grant's not in the Hall of Fame.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
Got a couple ideas myself, actually. We can ponder that one over. We'll come back. Final hour of Ben and Woods. We got a Rondle report. I've got a little more screen time story for you as well coming up next year with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fam.